This morning, our reading from the Gospels comes out of the Gospel of John. In chapter 19, we'll start at verse 19 and go through 31. And this is the story of that happened afterwards, after the resurrection with the disciples. So hear these words starting at verse 19 of chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through him believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I find this story, you know, right after the resurrection to be really a representative of much of our life when we hear of news of something taking place in the life of another person, or perhaps, you know, a great change has taken place, or some, you know, transition has happened. And in fact, here when I think about, you know, the reaction of Thomas here in regards to that of the disciples, I could see that, you know, play out in the lives of people as well, even my own life, especially so. And especially the doubt that Thomas was sharing and experiencing. I believe doubt is a part of our faith and our life experience. And it's a feeling and an experience where there can be a lot of tension. There can be a lot of, you know, anxiety, a lot of, you know, uncertainty around doubt, especially so because we might see it as the antithesis of having faith, of having trust in God, or perhaps we are starting to doubt, you know, our own selves, our ability to carry faith, you know, rather than having no faith in God. And so it brings a lot of just tension and anxiety into our lives. And I believe here Thomas captures that doubt and that difficulty of doubt, very well. And it's a part of who we are as a people of faith, but it's also a part of our story as well. I believe doubt comes to us when we have these transition points in our lives, or perhaps we've gone through something, you know, incredibly, you know, dramatic or traumatic, you know, like the resurrection of Christ. I mean, the disciples here, I mean, they had witnessed, you know, Christ, you know, being taken, you know, taken away from them, being arrested, being whipped, being beaten, then having him, you know, seeing him, you know, nailed on the tree, you know, that cross, and then dying on the cross and being buried. I mean, they had every reason to believe that hope, that any, you know, chance of resurrection or new life was gone, because of what they had seen and experienced. And for us, we can perhaps identify with that when we go through a traumatic experience, something that brings out, you know, our fears and our doubts. Perhaps it can come to us when we have lost our jobs, or perhaps we've lost a loved one, or perhaps the things that we had depended upon are no longer there. We can have doubts. We can have that anxiety, excuse me, and that uncertainty that comes with transitions, that comes with, you know, those traumatic events that happens with life. But as Thomas is, you know, expressing these doubts here, and his anxiety and his fear, you know, it's in contrast to the experience of the other disciples. They were there in that room when Christ came in there, and they were able to see, you know, the hands, the holes in his hands, the marks on his side, all the signs that took place with the crucifixion, all the signs on his body that, yes, this happened and took place, and that this was Jesus. And they had Christ standing right there. They believed. They saw, you know, the risen Christ right there among them. And yet Thomas, for whatever reason, was not in that room. That experience of Thomas there in that moment can mirror how much we can feel when things are going well, they experience something in the lives of others, or perhaps the fears that we have, the doubts we have, don't quite align with what others are experiencing. That can be a place of tension and doubt as well. But I appreciate how Christ is interacting with the doubts of Thomas, how Christ is interacting with the disciples here. Because we have, you know, that first paragraph in our reading, you know, Christ coming into the room, you know, being, you know, in that room, and the disciples certainly were anxious. They were fearful. I mean, they were locked in that room because they were afraid others would come after them, that they would suffer the same fate as Christ. And then you have Christ coming in and was sharing, you know, peace be with you. And I'm sure that statement of peace be with you seemed odd because of the fear that they were experiencing. But yet Christ is there with them and shares with them, you know, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And that when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Not only are we seeing that fulfillment, you know, of Christ, you know, being there, being resurrected, we're seeing that fulfillment of the coming of the Holy Spirit. But then go a little further to that experience with Thomas. The others are saying, we have seen the Lord. And Thomas is like, unless I see, you know, the holes and the hands, you know, I will not believe. But how we come down to that moment Christ appears with Thomas. Does the same thing, the exact same thing, says that peace be with you. And then he addresses Thomas. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And then Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Christ didn't turn Thomas away. Christ didn't cast Thomas out. Instead, Christ saw that doubt and that fear and was there with him. Now, Jesus being Jesus here did use this as a teaching moment. I mean, right here at the end there, you know, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. I mean, he's still using it as a teaching moment. But how Christ is with Thomas, I believe, is how we can expect, you know, Christ to be with us when we experience doubt and fear and anxiety. For Christ is there, addresses it, and is with us in that moment. One of the things about doubt, and when we're thinking about, you know, how that relates to our faith, is, you know, doubt is often seen as the opposite of faith. In reality, I see that doubt really is not the opposite of faith at all, but rather showing a great concern for faith. Because really the opposite, you know, of faith, if you think about it, would be apathy, just not caring at all. Where, it, you know, recognizing it just doesn't matter, it's not important. That would be apathy. That would be the opposite, I see, of faith. And other writers and theologians have noted that as well. When we have that doubt and uncertainty, you know, there in that moment, it still is because deep in us, our faith matters. Our faith and our experience, you know, with God matters. And that brings some of that tension to light as well. But I believe for us as followers of Christ, especially here on this second Sunday of Easter, as we're in this season of Easter, recognizing the risen Christ, we can still have doubts and fears and anxieties about the new life that Christ is sharing, about the new life that Christ shows through his resurrection. We can have doubts and fears and anxieties of that new life. When I've spoken with prisoners who have recently been released, you know, from prison, it's happened several times when I've had conversations with those who are, you know, coming out of, you know, being imprisoned. They share, you know, rather than being, hopeful and excited, you know, many folks have anxiety and fear of their new life. Because they've been in a situation where they were, you know, their lives were regimented, they were on somebody else's schedule, they were structured. And then upon their release, there's a lot of fear and anxiety, you know, of that new life and that new beginning. And I see that for us when we are living our old ways, or we're living with, you know, hopes that perhaps have been crushed and dashed in the past. You know, those struggles can feel familiar to us. And so when we hear this call to a new life, when the disciples are hearing about this new life, rather than running out in the streets, you know, they put themselves into a room and lock themselves. And rather than thinking, you know, perhaps, or Thomas thinking that perhaps, you know, this is going to be exciting and amazing, you know, rumors of the resurrected Christ, they have those doubts because that hope for a new life, a new beginning, can seem so far away from our present reality. In fact, we can run from it. We can be anxious of the hope and the love that God has for us because of that change, because of the doubts, because of not knowing what is ahead. Even though we know it's a fulfillment of Scripture, even though we know God is with us, we can still be anxious. But that's the human, you know, part of our faith and our experience. That's our human experience, you know, coming into play there. Instead, we have a Christ who sees those doubts, those fears, and instead of casting us away or saying that we are worthless, instead we have a God and a Christ who comes to us and says, "Put your hands in my side. Here are the holes in my hand." And is there in that moment. This is our God. This is our risen Christ who sees our fears and our doubts and our anxieties. And rather than casting us away, embraces us. And is there in that moment. Brothers and sisters, it can be difficult proclaiming the new life in this world that is so broken. It can be difficult proclaiming, you know, a new beginning or, you know, a new life for those who have been struggling, because we've come to expect that in our world it will only get worse. Because of our experiences, and those are valid experiences, we may doubt any possibility of things getting better, but our God is there calling us to new life. Calling us to be a people of resurrection, calling us to be an Easter people who lean in to our faith rather than run away from it, who bring our questions and our concerns and our doubts. Instead of hiding or being ashamed of those things, we bring them to our God who hears them and is with us. So let us be a people of new life, a people of resurrection, a people of a new start. Even though we may have our doubts and anxieties about that new start, we bring them to our God and we move forward with the hope and the new beginning in Christ. Let us be the people of Easter. Let us be a people of the resurrection and embrace that new life and that new beginning. Now and forevermore. Amen.